recovering from isolation and shame. Would you guys pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, just come before you tonight, Lord, and I pray for all of my friends in this room, Lord God, who are probably walking through the most difficult things in their lives. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would just comfort them during this time and that you would, in fact, draw them closer to you, Lord. I pray that you would just minister to them, Lord God, through the story that you're writing in my life, Lord, and that these would not be my words, but that they would be yours, Father. And so I just pray for your spirit to just speak through me now and for the hearts of the people that are here. In your name I pray, amen. So, okay, a couple of deep breaths. Memories of my life before placing my trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior at age 7 are very limited. As far back as I can remember, God's Word was an important part of my life and upbringing. During my childhood, my family even lived as missionaries in a country in West Africa for a year. But what I would quickly learn is that being a child of God didn't mean that my life would be easy or that I wouldn't struggle. And by the time I graduated high school, I had moved 13 times as a result of my dad's job. Relationships were difficult for me as a result, and I began a life of isolation. My first real relationship in high school lasted for 4 years and was abusive in every way. It would take me almost 20 years to fully understand the impact of this relationship upon every aspect of my life. I carried a huge burden of shame, which I will unpack more during the remainder of my testimony. My family had always been my rock, so you can imagine how I felt at the age of 23 when my parents announced that they were getting a divorce. In some ways, I felt betrayed and definitely very confused. This was so contrary to my upbringing. Where was God? At the age of 25, things finally began to come together, or so I thought. I got married to a guy that I met in college. He was a believer. We dated for almost 4 years, had a good friendship, and most importantly, to me at the time, he was safe, or passive. I definitely felt more in control of this relationship than my previous one. Shame often seeks control. When my husband didn't fulfill my emotional needs, I withheld intimacy from him. Shame also hides. My marriage was defined by a continual cycle of me giving of myself and then pulling away when I was fearful that he or I were getting too close. What would he really think of me if he knew me? All of my fears were confirmed when I found out that he had an addiction to pornography. The enemy spoke through my shame once again. I really was not enough to my husband, and that's what I thought. And rather than seeking the Lord, my heavenly Father, to find my significance, I began to look outside of my marriage, longing to be enough for someone, anyone. After 10 years of marriage, my husband gave up. In addition to all that I've shared so far, lack of communication, unresolved conflict, and isolation contributed further to the death of our marriage. And even though I had walked through my parents' divorce, I never knew just how painful and emotionally devastating it would be until I found myself there. After he filed, I didn't pursue him because shame told me that I didn't deserve him or our marriage. So during the time of my separation, I felt rejected, unlovable, hurt, confused, and isolated from God. I was extremely lonely and depressed. So when a guy I had just met began to take an interest in me, I took comfort in that. And before long, I found myself in a relationship with him. And while there were moments that it seemed to help take my mind off of my pending divorce, all of the pain was just underneath the surface. Not only was I not in a position to be in another relationship, as I was still married, I was also not emotionally capable. And I wasn't making good decisions. One sin led to another sin led to another. As James 1:14-15 says, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings death. my life was spiraling out of control very quickly. We fought all the time and often had fights because he didn't understand why I couldn't just get over my marriage. And there were unhealthy things in this relationship, including verbal abuse, which resulted in much more heartache than I ever could have imagined. This was bad enough on its own, but I was layering it on top of the death of my marriage that I had not really dealt with. And I didn't realize it at the time, but this relationship just extended my healing process and actually made the pain a lot worse. Not only was I struggling with shame from my past, but now I felt guilt and shame related to the choices I had made. And I felt like I deserved to be in this pain. That's what shame says. My divorce was final in the fall of 2008, and as much as I tried to move on, to regain some sense of normalcy in my life, and even try to make this new relationship work, I was so broken. When I was around this other guy, I pretended to be okay so that we wouldn't fight about it, but I wasn't. I cried a lot in private. I even began to pray that God would take my life. So that's when I knew I needed help. And as a believer, I knew God was the only way. James 4:8 says, to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I found my way to Watermark, sitting in the dark, hiding in the crowd. I'd sit in the very far back, top part of the balcony, hoping no one would see me. But it was good to be in God's presence again. Shortly after, I began reading the Bible and really crying out to the Lord. He was working in me. And after several months of quietly attending church, the Lord led me to divorce care in the spring of 2009 through an announcement in the Watermark News. I really thought by then I was in a better place, but when I sat down in our first small group meeting and it was my turn to introduce myself, I broke down into tears. I still had a lot of emotions stuffed down inside. And as the 13 weeks progressed, God continued to convict me and to change my heart. And multiple times, the Lord confirmed in various ways through his word, other people, and even divorce care that his desire for me was to seek reconciliation. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus says, all things are possible with God. So I knew I had to pursue reconciliation, and I had to change the current relationship I was in at the time to do that. As we heard tonight, a major barrier to restoring any marriage is dating a third party. You cannot truly pursue reconciliation when someone else is involved. So in early April 2009, I broke off my relationship with the other guy and looked for opportunities to talk to my ex-husband. I finally decided to write him a letter asking for forgiveness for everything that I had done wrong in our marriage, and then sharing with him what God had placed on my heart regarding reconciliation. And when I gave him the letter, there was a huge weight that was lifted from my shoulders. I really can't describe the peace that I felt in that moment. Honestly, it was probably the most peace I'd known since my divorce. I knew without a doubt that I was being obedient to the Lord. However, months went by and I didn't hear anything back from him. In fact, he avoided any communication with me. And there were times I was very discouraged and felt alone, but I also knew that the Lord wanted me just to wait. Although my relationship with God was growing stronger, I still found myself being pulled back into a relationship with the other guy. Not in the same capacity, as it was more of a friendship at this point, but I was still having a hard time completely letting go. The fighting only increased over time because I was trying to go backwards in a relationship and just be friends. And that's never easy once your relationship has surpassed that point. It wasn't until almost a year after that time that I finally gained the strength in Christ to completely sever the relationship. And during all of this, God has done some amazing things in my life. And as I became more and more obedient to him and began walking with him daily, true healing came. While the door of reconciliation with my ex-husband was closed when he remarried in February 2010, God has continued to restore me and show me that he isn't finished with me yet. In 2012, I really began to process through my abuse and shame in Regeneration, a Christ-centered recovery ministry here at Watermark. It was painful and something that I had pushed to the darkest corners of my heart. But bringing everything into the light has brought incredible freedom and healing. God has faithfully continued to use all of my past, my mistakes, and my failures to teach me how to be more like him. By extending me grace and comfort, God has given me the special opportunity to encourage others in the same way, as his word teaches in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The process to healing has not been easy, and I continue to learn and be sanctified all along the way. Who would have thought that through all of this pain, the Lord would be preparing me to minister to others facing divorce? Who would have thought that God would give me the opportunity, a woman consumed by shame and guilt, to minister to other women suffering from the same? But he has. And at the beginning of this year, he made a way for me to be on staff here at Watermark. It's amazing to me, quite honestly. So I get to be here on the community team, and I'm blessed to minister to women daily. Never in a million years would I have ever thought I would be here. And if I were still living under the bondage of shame, I wouldn't be. But he is a God of redemption, and he is working all things for my good and his glory. I want to close with a few verses from one of my favorite passages, Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember them no more. Thank you for letting me share.